Good morning. We'll be continuing our discussions through Ephesians as we go through Paul's letter. And this morning, the focus passages are going to be from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. Now, again, these passages obviously now apply to children. We don't have any children here, however, to keep faithful to Paul's letter. I will go ahead and go over verses 1 to 3 in chapter 6. And let me open up this message in prayer. Father, we are so thankful to be gathered together, Father, here in your holy and glorious name. We pray that you will just incline our hearts, our minds, our ears, our entire being, Father, to you. Help us to just be nurtured by your word. Help us to know that we need it so much, Father God. For us to know that we are sanctified only by your truth, Lord, and by nothing else. May we be edified this morning, Father God. May we just be nurtured and cherished by you, O Lord, as we go through Paul's letter. We pray that you will just incline everything in our beings this morning to you, Father God, and that any and all just distractions will just be removed, Father, that we may closely and just intimately draw near to you. And we just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy your long life on the earth. Amen. So now Paul, after he's been discussing the duties of the husband and the wife, now he focuses his attention on children. And as we go through this letter, we should understand that when Paul wrote this letter, Paul obviously expected that when the letter made its trek down to the Ephesian church, that there would be husbands and wives and children there hearing his letter and be inspired by it and being taught by it. So he expects that as a letter is being read, that children are there. And because of that, in this letter here, in these three verses, he's admonishing the children. He is doing what a parent, what a father or mother should do. So on their behalf, he goes straight away and begins to admonish the children himself. And he begins, obviously, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. But we need to understand that when Paul is doing this, he's talking to Christian children. He's talking to no one else other than Christians. He's talking to spirit-filled children. Again, how do we know? Because in the very first verse, he says, obey your parents in the Lord. So he assumes that the children who are gathered there and that are listening to his letter are children who are in Christ. Not out of Christ, but in Christ. So this word where it says, children, obey. That word is qualified by the statement, in the Lord. Obey in the Lord, children. Because that is their place if they're Christian children, in the Lord. So immediately we should recognize that Paul has speaking to no one else other than children who are spirit-filled. Spirit-filled children. So in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, Paul begins his discourse and he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So we understand Paul's letter to the mother and to the father, but now he expects that not only children, but the moms and dads will listen because he expects that moms and dads, the parents, fathers, and mothers, that they are responsible for what? They are responsible for the training and the spiritual development of their children. So yes, he expects that moms, dads, you are there too, and you're listening to me as I preach to your children through this letter because it is important for the mother and to the father as the leaders of the household to understand that it is their responsibility to nurture the children in God's word, to train them and to develop them in all spirituality. So Paul's letter, yes, is to the children, but it applies to parents, to moms and to dads. And this we need to know too about the child, okay? Because the child, he also has a responsibility. Whether the child is 10 or 15 or 20, it doesn't matter. Paul doesn't give an age here. He's just speaking to the children. Yes, 10, 15, 20, 25, teenagers, it doesn't matter. Paul's point is, it's to those children. So children of whatever age are expected to be what? To be disciples of Jesus Christ and to follow Christ. There's no exceptions. It's not like the father, You have to be a disciple of Christ. The mother, you are also to be a disciple of Christ. Children, you too are required to be disciples of Christ and to follow Christ every day of your lives. Very important that we understand that this mandate to follow Christ applies to every spirit-filled believer. And again, here, when Paul is writing the letter, let us understand that Paul is assuming that the children gathered there are spirit-filled believers. Spirit-filled. So, we've learned our roles in the last couple of weeks. We've kind of learned our roles. We learned the controlling principles. We learned that the controlling principle of the husband is this, to love the wife. That is my controlling principle. Husband, that is your controlling principle. And then we learned of the wife's controlling principle. Wives, submit to your husband. That is the wife's controlling principle. But now, Paul turns to the child, and he says, this is your controlling principle, to obey and to honor your parents. That is their controlling principle, to obey and to honor. Obedience and honor. That right there sums up the whole unique duty of the child. Child, you will obey. Child, you will honor. You will do both. Because one begets the other. If you honor your mother, if you honor your father, that right there will automatically beget your obedience. But if you don't honor mom and dad, odds are you're not going to obey them either. So one facilitates the other. With honor comes obedience. It's the same thing with our father. If we honor God, we will obey God. If we don't honor God, odds are we're not going to obey him. So honor and obedience sum up the whole distinctive of the duty of the child, to honor and to obey. And this principle, it carries over. It carries over from the Old Testament to the New Testament. The same principle from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant. It changes very little. It brings it right over. No change. Can you go to Leviticus chapter 19? And we'll read verses 3 and 4. Each of you must respect his mother and father, and you must observe my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. And I'll stop there for now because I want to say this. Each of you must respect his mother and father. Notice there that Moses turns two words around, because in almost every scripture in the Bible that refers to honor and obedience, it's always the father that comes first. It says, you will honor your father and you will honor your mother. But in this particular passage right here, this is actually probably one of the only passages in the entire Bible where the mother comes first and then the father. You will respect your mother and you will respect your father. Because in every other circumstance, it's the other way around. And you have to wonder, well, why? Why did Moses do that? Because Moses understands this. He understands something that is very true even in our lives today, that when it comes to governing the family, the mother does this. The mother normally has the intention of governing the family from her heart. From her heart. Mothers usually govern from their hearts. And fathers usually govern from their authority. So teenage boys, young boys, they're more apt to disobey the mother because they see the mother as someone who governs from her heart. So yeah, I can disobey mom. She governs from her heart. She'll forgive me. It's easier to dishonor my mom, to not obey mom. But when it comes to the father, most fathers, they govern from their authority. And children see their fathers as the authority head. So they're not as inclined to disobey the father because they know that if they disobey the father, there's some consequences to be had there. So know that there's a bit more fear in disobeying the father than there is in disobeying the mother. One, again, governs from the heart. The other tends to govern from his authority. So children, they're sometimes more apt. You know what? I'm just going to disobey mom because mom's really not going to do nothing. It's easier to get away with it because mom, yes, she might chastise me, she might discipline, but it's not going to be nowhere near as harsh as what dad might do. So here, Moses, he wants us to understand that respecting the mother is just as important as respecting the Father. You respect both. Why? Because there's equality in their authority when it comes with having authority over the children. It's not that the father's authority is higher than the mother's. No, when it comes to the children, mom and dad, husband and wife, they have the same authority over the parents. Children, they have the same responsibility to obey the father and the mother in the very same manner. You don't disrespect one because one appears to be softer and gentler and the other one a bit more harsh, more demanding. No. Moses wants to understand. He wants the Jewish children to understand, specifically the young men, the young boys, to understand that mom and the mom needs to be cherished. She needs to be honored and obeyed just as much as the dad, just as much. But then when you go to verse 4, I wanted to add verse 4. Do not turn to idols or make gods of cast metal for yourselves. I am the Lord your God. Only because of this. Because if you read verses 3 and 4, Moses, he takes of the Ten Commandments only these three. He speaks to the Jewish congregation, to the Hebrew children, and of all the Ten Commandments, notice that he actually started out with the very first commandment saying, obey your mother and your father. And then he adds two more commandments, idolatry. Don't be an idolater. Then he says, and then the last one, the last point there. He says about idolatry and about the Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath. It was the first one we mentioned in 3. He says, observe the Sabbath, observe the respect for the mother and the father, and observe that you don't become an idolater. Three commandments, but he adds the one about honoring mother and father. What's the point? The point is, in these three commandments, Moses felt it important. And being invited, Moses, again, being inspired by the Spirit, felt it important to make sure that the Hebrews understood the importance of honoring the mother and the father. And then he adds those two other commandments. Is it important to honor the father and the mother? Absolutely. And Moses here, he makes it a point to remind the Hebrew people how important it is for the children there to understand their obligation to their mother and to their father. It is no light matter. It was no light matter whatsoever. Even when you go to Deuteronomy chapter 21, because in Deuteronomy chapter 21, it's pretty interesting because it shows how serious this issue of disobeying the parents really is. And in 18 to 21, it says this: if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of the town of his town. They shall say to the elders, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a profligate and a drunkard. Then all the men of his town shall stone him to death. You must purge the evil from among you. All Israel will hear of it and be afraid. So this is how serious it was to disobey the father and the mother, to the point that it could result in death for the child, in death. But then, as one commentator said, if you scour the entire Bible, if you go through the entire Bible, you'll find that there's not even one case where a parent decided, you know what, probably a good idea at this point to just stone my son or my daughter to death. Yeah, they're beyond redemption. Let's just stone him to death. No, not even one case in the entire Bible. And he said, he makes a point. He said, it's almost like if the mother and the father decided, you know what, we're not going to go to that extent. I'll just live with my son or my daughter being disobedient and sinful. I'll just deal with it. I'll let it go. Because that's the way it is nowadays. We kind of tend to forego the sins of our children. We let it go, and sometimes we fail to discipline the way we ought to discipline. Obviously, going to that extreme is something that we don't do in the New Covenant, but it was allowed under the Old Covenant, but no one ever went to that extent. There was only one son that we know of that was ever put to death because not of his disobedience, but because of our disobedience. Only one son, only one father who decided, you know what, I will take my son and I will scourge him and I will put him to death, not because of what he did, but because of what everyone else did. And we know that's Christ. the only Son who was put to death, not because of our sins or because of his sins, but because of our sins. But he was completely faithful and completely obedient to the Lord. Can you go to John chapter 8, verse 29? And here we get Christ himself who says, "The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." I always do what pleases him. Not one point in his life did he do anything that displeased the Father. He was completely obedient his entire life. Completely obedient. Can you go now to Romans chapter 8, verse 32? And here's the result, Romans 8, verse 32. "He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also along with us graciously give us all things?" He who did not spare his own Son. No, on our behalf, Christ went to the cross, taking all of our disobedience, all of our sins, our transgressions, our iniquity, everything. Because the mandate in the Old Testament was, if you disobey, children, if you disobey, you can be put to death. You're liable to be stoned. Well, no, we know that only happened to Christ on the cross. And not because of what he did, but because of what we did. He paid the penalty for all of our disobedience. Because disobedience, it's just that. It's sin. When it comes down to it, sin, disobedience are the same thing. They're almost synonymous. If you disobey, you're sinning. If you sin, probably because you disobeyed. But they're synonymous here in this case. But for that reason, Christ, the only one who was actually put to death, not for his sins, but for our sins. For our sins. So can you go back now, please, to chapter 6, verse 1? So here, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now that word right there, obey. We kind of know what it is, but again, I always try to go back and look at the Greek translation because the Greek always gives us a better idea of what the word truly means that Paul was using. Because when Paul says, obey, children, obey, the word there means hupotasso. Now we know that word doesn't apply to husbands and wives, because husbands and wives, between them, there's this idea of submission. Submission. Not obedience, but submission. But to the children, he gives them this word, hupakao. Hupakao. That means to obey. Well, what does that mean, hupakao? Because that's the Greek translation, hupakao. It means to listen and to hear from under. As if you are a subordinate, as if you are a lesser. You're not an equal. So when someone obeys, immediately we know, okay, there's no equality here. Because the person giving the command is someone who is above, and the person receiving the command is someone who is beneath. So when we hear this word obedience, we immediately understand that there is a relationship here between someone who is a superior in authority and someone who is in a lesser position, a lesser role. So when it comes to the child, to children, we should understand immediately that there's equality between the mother and the father, but there's no equality between the mother and the father and the child. No. Children are always underneath. Unfortunately, today in this century, we're to the point now where the mother and the father and children, they're all equal. Anytime a father has to make a decision, well, what does the wife think? And what do the children think? Because they all need to agree. But no, that's not the design. The design is for the mother and the father to be the decision makers, and the children are beneath them. They follow what the mother and the father say. That's the way it was meant to be. That's the order. It never changed. That's the way God intended it. That's the divine blueprint. Equality between mom and dad, but no equality between mom, dad, and the children. Children obey from beneath, from their position, from their role. To do what? To honor and to obey. That is their controlling principle. So Paul says that is where they're at. So when it says obey, we should understand we're not talking equality here. Paul just says this equality thing, it's just changed completely now. Because we're not talking equals here. Not at all. So we know that it means to hear and to listen from under, as a subordinate, as someone who is not an equal. Well, then sometimes, even today, you very often, even here in church, I've heard children say this. They say, why should I? I'll see a parent tell something to the teenager, and the teenager, for some reason, did not appreciate what the mom said, and the teenager replies with, well, why should I? Why should I listen? Why should I listen? It's rather rude, again, because the child needs to be taught what obedience is, what honor is. Very rude for anyone, whether you're a Christian child or not, to respond in that manner to a father or to a mother. Well, why should I? Who are you? Why do I need to listen to you? Why? Well, here in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, Paul gives children four reasons. Four reasons why you need to do this, Christian child. Four reasons. And the first one is this right here. Point number one that Paul makes, because you are a Christian. Because you are a Christian in the Lord. In the Lord. You're not a Christian outside the Lord. You don't get to do what you want thinking you are outside the Lord. Everything you do is done within the context of being in Christ. Your parents do what they do because they are in Christ. The father loves because he is in Christ. The mother submits because she is in Christ. Children, they honor and they obey because they are in Christ. So Paul's first point is, you are a Christian who are what? You are in Christ. You are in the Lord. That is the first reason why you should obey your parents. Because you're nowhere else. If you're a Christian and you have been regenerated and you're born again, well, then you should understand you are in Christ. You don't have the obligation to just say no. Well, why should I? Why should I do that? No. That right there again, it's just sin. It's flagrant sin. No. So children, be and we understand too, when we look at in the Lord, because that's been Paul's theme from chapter 5. In the Lord. Because everywhere, he says, mothers, fathers, even just fellow Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, we're all in the Lord. And he said, we should treat ourselves, we should respect each other, we should respect one another as we fear Christ. Because we are all in the same sphere, all in the one body. So this has been Paul's theme now since chapter 5. And it even goes back, you can go back to chapter 4. Because this is how we live our lives. We live our practical lives within the sphere of being in the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we respect one another. As husbands and wives, we respect one another. As children and parents, there should be reverence and respect from the child to the mother to the father, and vice versa. There should be love for the children. But that's the whole context here. So Paul isn't telling the children to do anything that he already hasn't told the adults to do. He's told the adults this, but now he's just turning his attention to the children and laying it out to the children. This is how you children should not conform yourselves. Comport yourselves when you're with mom and dad. So becoming a Christian doesn't nullify the child's obligation to the mother and to the father. No, he's not free now to do as he or she pleases. No. You become a Christian. If you become a Christian child, if anything, you should become a better child, a better son, a better daughter. But you shouldn't grow worse. You should grow better. Why? Because you should be spirit-filled, Paul says. Children, like mom and dad, should be spirit-filled. Children, like mom and dad, should be walking with the Lord. Children, like mom and dad, should be filled with the Holy Spirit, sealed by the Holy Spirit. So they're no different. Their obligations, once you become Christians, never change. They should be doing the very same thing and doing it to a higher point, because now they're in the Lord. They weren't before, they are now. A higher obligation now to obey mom and dad. And this I know too, that none of us have the resources within us to just obey. I know that. We should know that. We don't have those resources within ourselves to just obey. We need what? We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to apply His grace into our lives to give us the enablement to obey the way God wants us to obey, the way God is pleased. So it is important that the parents teach the children what in the way they should go. Obedience must be taught. It needs to be taught. So the important thing is to understand that. Obedience doesn't come naturally. Disobedience comes naturally, but not obedience. It doesn't. It requires what? That we walk with the Spirit, that we be filled with the Spirit. That is the only way. We need God's grace for that. We need God's grace. So Paul reminds the children that you're in the Lord. If you're in the Lord, you should be filled with the Spirit. You should be walking with the Spirit. You should be led by the Spirit. Just like the adults. No difference. Can you go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 20? Because here Paul says the very same thing. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Well, let's just assume now that your parents aren't Christians. You, the child, somehow you listen to the gospel. You're 15 years old. Someone preaches the gospel. Before you know it, you receive the gospel, and you know you just became a Christian. But your mom and your dad, well, they're atheists. Should you still obey them? Absolutely, you should obey them. Even more than before. Why? Because now you're in the Lord. Do you disobey them if they tell you something that's contrary to God's word? Well, yes. But you need to, a child should know to rely on God's wisdom to do that. But if an atheist mom or an atheist dad wants the child to just get away from Christianity, to get away from the church, to get away from Bible reading, when the child knows, I'll become a Christian, this right here is my life now. Am I going to be loyal to my parents, or am I going to be loyal to God? Again, child needs to understand, at some point, you need to be obedient to one or the other. That's why Bible studies, the Bible teaching, the kids and all, very important. Some kids may be Christians, their parents may not. But children need to be trained properly. When to make those decisions, how to make decisions, how to comport themselves in the family, whether they're under Christian parents or they're under parents who are not Christian parents. They should know that. So when it says, for this, children, obey your parents in everything. In everything? Well, yeah, here, Paul's assuming that the parents are Christian parents. Yes, obey your Christian parents in everything, because Christian parents should be in Christ. However, there's that dynamic where the parents may not be. May not be. So kids, again, need to be what? Walking with the Spirit, influenced by the Spirit to know how to act with parents when those parents may not be Christians. They may not be Christians. So the statement in the Lord, that statement in the Lord, can you go back down to chapter 6, verse 1? That statement in the Lord, it defines the quality of obedience, because everything in the Lord, that right there defines a very quality type of obedience. It's in the Lord, and if it's in the Lord, it gives it just quite a bit of quality. Quality. And the quality is defined by what? By the fact that your obedience is being carried out within the sphere of being in Christ. That's why this statement in the Lord is so important for the child to understand. Child, obey in the Lord, because within that sphere is where all obedience takes place. And it's very important for the child to know that. Your obedience is occurring in the person of Christ. You dishonor Christ if you disobey your parents. If you disobey your parents, you dishonor Christ. So that in the Lord statement, it just gives the whole verse quite a bit of strength, a little bit of power, a little bit of significance to know that, child, you're not just obeying your parents because you feel like it. No, you're obeying your parents because of this qualifier that you are in the Lord. Very important to know that. Must you? Yes, you must. You must. You're in the Lord. So here's the whole point about that statement in the Lord. Because that statement in the Lord, it provides a framework. It provides a framework, and it allows a parent to say this. It allows a parent to say this. I must ask that you obey me because I am responsible to God for your obedience. I need to ask you, child, son or daughter, I need to tell you that you will obey me because I am responsible for you to God. So for this reason, parents, you're in the Lord. You don't have you should not just allow sin to pass by without you doing nothing about it. No, parents, you're in the Lord. You do something about disobedience. You do something about sin when it concerns your children. You do something, why? Because you're in the Lord too. And that statement, in the Lord, is very important for you to understand that that is the sphere where all obedience takes place. And you're allowing your children to do as they please. Well, then know this, parents, that you're not doing your role either. You're not fulfilling your role of being a right mom or a right dad because you're forgetting this whole principle of being in the Lord. Because I'm in the Lord, son, you're going to do as I tell you. Because I am responsible to God, not to you. Because I am in the Lord, daughter, you're going to do what I say because I am accountable to God. And the son or the daughter, they operate under that same principle. They should say, I am obeying mom and dad. Why? I am obeying mom and dad because I am doing what pleases God in the Lord. I am in the Lord, and in the Lord means that I will do this. I will obey my father and my mother. Because in the Lord is a sphere where all of this takes place. In the Lord. So the very important statement that Paul adds right in there. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is righteous. This is a righteous thing to do, children, to obey your parents in the Lord. This is what gives you right standing with God. Because if you're not obeying your mother and your father, you have no right standing with God. You've kind of fallen out of grace. But you're right, and your righteousness, and you have right standing with God if you're properly obeying your father and your mother. This is right, Paul says, for this is right. And anything else is wrong, but this is righteous. This is the righteous thing to do, children. The righteous thing to do. So when you look at these controlling principles, when we look at the controlling principle of the husband, the controlling principle of the father or the mother, and then the controlling principle of children to obey and to honor. If you see all those controlling principles working together, we should see this in the family. We should see harmony in the family because everyone is acting according to their given principles, according to their controlling principles. But we know something happens. It's called sin. That's the drawback here, is that we're sinful people. Sinful husbands, sinful wives, sinful children. As husbands, we don't love our wives 100%. We don't. We want to and we should, but we fail to do that. As wives, probably don't submit to the husbands 100% of the time. No, we probably not. Sin gets in the way. Children, don't obey parents, don't honor parents 100% of the time. They dishonor parents. Because what? Because of the sin problem. There's a sin problem. But we should never, regardless of the sin problem, we should always default back to the words of Paul, to the words of Scripture. You're in the Lord. You're in the Lord. Of your own strength, you can't. You need what? You need the Spirit. You need the grace of God. We all do. All that comes with teaching. But if we don't teach our children, they'll never know. If we don't teach ourselves, if we're not taught, we'll never know. To be obedient, it requires the grace of God. It requires His grace, His Spirit, for us to do that. But if we want true harmony in homes, we need to know what our controlling principles are. And we need to practically live our lives according to those principles. Let me go now to the next point, please. The next point, still in the same, and I said it earlier, Paul, the first point Paul makes, because you are a Christian, because you are a Christian in the Lord, you will obey. That was Paul's first point, because you are in the Lord. The very next point that Paul makes is this, because obedience is right. He said it right there, for this is right. For you to obey, son and daughter, is the right thing to do. For you not to obey, well, then it's the wrong thing to do. But the right thing to do is to obey. Can you go to Romans chapter 6, verse 16? Now, here's Paul speaking to the Romans. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, Or here comes the big one here, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. When you obey mom and dad, what have you done? You are right. Because obedience always leads to righteousness, to a right standing. And Paul told the Romans the very same thing. In this case, he's speaking to Roman people, whether they're moms or dads, single, children, it doesn't matter. But the principle is the same thing. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone to obey, okay, it's either going to lead to sin and to death, or to what? Or to righteousness. One or the other, which leads to death or to obedience. Can you go up, please? Which leads to righteousness. It's one or the other. Obedience. It's either done the wrong way. We know where the wrong way leads. It's right there. It leads to death, to sin. That's the wrong path, children, for children to take. That's where you go when you disobey mom and dad. But here we understand when Paul talks to us in Ephesians, when he's talking to the children, he says, if you do the right thing, you're moving from life to righteousness. That is the righteous kind of life, righteous living. And remember chapters 4, 5, and 6, they're all about righteous living. Everyone has a high calling. Children are called to do what? Well, in this case, called to obey and to honor mom and dad. That is their calling. They're calling to be good students in school. To do what? To obey their authorities, their teachers, their principals, whomever. But the point is, honor and obedience here, primarily, it takes place in the home. It starts with mom and dad. Obey first your mom and dad. If you get that relationship right, if you get your relationship with God right, with mom and dad right, the other relationships should fall into place. But obedience, it begins in the household. Begins in the home, right in home. And then we learned this too, because God made, there's also a rightness of action. When you go back to creation, we see the creation order. I talked about that the last couple of weeks. There's the Father, the man. The man was made. Out of the man, God made woman. And now out of man and woman, God made children. So there is a divine order there. Husband, wife, out of the two, come children. That is the order. It is the order, and that's the way it should be in the household. Mom and dad, children beneath. That is a creation order. It was never meant to be mom, dad, mom, and children all up on top. No, no, no. Again, like I said earlier, no equality. Equality between mom and dad, no equality between mom, dad, and children. No, no, no. Not at all. There's that divine blueprint. Children, obey. Children, honor. Children under your parents. Children are never above their parents. Well, today, 21st century, it's like that in many homes, even in many Christian homes, where the children now make the decisions for mom and dad. Well, dad, I don't want to. Instead, I'm going to do this. Or mom, I'm going to do this. And parents, because they're either too lax or too fearful of their children, they want to make sure they get along. They want to make sure there's harmony in the family, so they allow disobedience. Let's just keep the peace, allow them to do what they want to do because that's the way everyone else is. No, they're not like everyone else. Children are not like everyone else. Why? Because Christian children are in the Lord. They don't get to be like everyone else out there, to do what everyone else out there is doing. No, because whenever they're out there, they're still in the Lord. When they're home, they're in the Lord. Obedience becomes very important. Paul says the right thing to do, Christian child, is to obey, because it is right for you to do that. And Christians should not forget that. But again, when mom and dad elevate the child, whether it's a son or the daughter, to their level, well, that breeds contempt. That will breed disobedience, because now the child has been given an authority, an empowerment that was not meant to be given to him or to her. They were not meant to be like mom or dad. Not at all. Not at all. You go to Romans chapter 8, verse 7. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. The sinful mind of a child, even the sinful mind of a mom, the sinful mind of a dad, okay? The sinful mind is hostile to God. That same sinful mind can be hostile to mom and to dad, to the parents. If you don't treat kids the way kids should be treated, if they're not in the proper ranking order within that divine blueprint, if they're elevated to a place where they ought not to be, well, that's what you might have. Minds that are hostile to you. Minds that are hostile to God. Because now they have an authority, again, I said earlier, was not meant to be given to them. Not at all. It was not theirs. Not theirs. So parents must teach their children to obey from an early age. From a very, very early age, children need to be taught to obey. Why? Because the children don't automatically want to obey. You can look at 2 years old and 3 years and 4 years old. We used to see them when we were out there in fellowship. They were just sometimes out of control. Why? Because many of them were disobedient. Because disobedience comes naturally. It's what they do. Why? Because they're all born with a sinful nature. And immediately at 2, at 3, at 4, at 5, that sinful nature starts to manifest itself. And we see it. Disobedience comes naturally. Obedience does not come naturally. That's why we have to teach our children how to obey. Because if you never teach your child how to obey, they'll never know how to obey. They'll just disobey. Important. One needs to be taught. The other, disobedience, it just comes naturally. So parents need to be involved with the kids from the very beginning, from a very early age. Parents teach your children to be obedient. Teach them to be obedient. You know, they're saying that back in the 20th century, that's when American families, they went through this secular transformation. And that's when Christian families, where the father's headship was reduced to an egalitarian role, to an equal role, where fathers in the 40s, 50s, 60s, they were seen as the dominant figures. They were the leaders of their household. They were the breadwinners, the wives, the children. They understood their roles. But because of the secularization of our country, everything changed now. And there's just equality now in families. Everyone's the same. Everyone. And the author who wrote the article says that's what's devastated the whole family today, even Christian families. That they've lost their roles and they've lost their perspectives. Because they want to keep harmony in the families, but they're trying to keep harmony in the families in the very wrong way, by trying to appease their children. And this is, parents are not here to appease their children. Parents are here to lead and to teach and to make the kids are obeying. But we've kind of lost that perspective here in America. Even in other countries, everything has changed. Even when you go back to the Bible, it's kind of funny when you go back to the Bible and you read the story of Eli. Remember Eli the priest? You read the Eli the priest, there's a man who kind of lost perspective. There's Hannah. She's praying. He's so kind of far gone, Eli is, that he doesn't recognize a woman praying when she's praying. She thinks she's drunk there. But the thing about Eli is that he's a very bad parent. He's got two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And Hophni and Phinehas, the Bible says, it's pretty funny when the Bible describes them, because this is how God describes those two children. He calls them worthless. He has two worthless kids who don't know the Lord. You don't know the Lord. In other words, here's, if it was today, in the New Covenant, here's a man, a father, who's a Christian father, and he's got two worthless kids who aren't even Christian. In other words, these two kids, they're not even in the Lord. But they're running around in the church causing havoc. Causing great havoc. The importance of obedience. Here's a man who had two kids and his children were out of control. Doing as they pleased. No obedience in that family whatsoever. And David, as great a king as he was, we saw the same thing in his family. The amount of disobedience that took place in there. Because he himself failed to be obedient, or a father that practiced obedience upon his kids. Upon his kids. So we see this dynamic. Here's the thing about obedience. We know this. Disobedience must be punished. Disobedience must be punished. Because if disobedience is not punished, obedience will never be learned. Obedience is only learned when disobedience is punished. If you punish your child when the child needs to be punished, then the child will learn how to be obedient. But if you never punish disobedience, then that child will grow up never knowing what obedience really is. That's why there's so much talk in the Bible about obeying God. We know this. If I don't obey God, I know this, that he will chasten me. Why? Because he needs to chasten me. Because the only way I'm going to know how to obey him is for him to deal with my disobedience. Once he deals with my disobedience, I know how to obey better. Because now I know what happened when I disobeyed. I did that last time. He chastened me. I'm not doing that again. I know better now. I'm going to obey when it comes to this issue right here. That's the whole thing about obedience. Disobedience, deal with it. Punish it. Otherwise, there'll be no obedience in the family. None whatsoever. We need parents to learn how to deal with disobedience. We need to. Well, let me go now to this third point that Paul makes. And I'll go to this briefly. Can you go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2? It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Because right here, we already saw two reasons. Paul gave us two reasons so far. He said, first reason was, again, just to remind you, the first reason for you to obey your parent was this, because you are a Christian in the Lord. Remember that. You are a Christian child. You are a Christian in the Lord. Therefore, you will obey. And the second point that Paul makes was this, because it is right. Child, it is the right thing to do. Obey mother and obey father, because it is right. It is right in the Lord. So we saw two reasons. And the third reason that Paul makes comes out of the very second verse here, where it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Why? Okay, so there's a third reason right there. Honor your father and mother. Why? Why do you honor your mom and your dad? Because it is God's commandment. Because God commands it. Because God commands it. You're in the Lord. It is right. And this is God's commandment for you to do so. To not obey mom and dad is to break God's commandment. And you don't want to do that. Children should not want to do that. Can you go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 12? Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. Can you go to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16? Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord has given you. So here we see we see this commandment that it goes from the old covenant to the new covenant. And it's relatively unchanged. Nothing changes. Paul is not implying that the children are under the law. No, Paul's not saying it. We already know. If we go back to Galatians, Paul already told us, Christians, we're no longer under the law. We're no longer under the curse. But this principle of honoring mom and dad, this idea, it still carries over. You still have the responsibility, the obligation, child, to obey mom and dad. Nothing has changed. But the righteousness of the law is still valid. That law is still a righteous law, and it still has much to do with the character of God. God expects our obedience. He expects the children will obey mom and dad. From the old to the new, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And it's the Holy Spirit that enables us to practice righteousness. We know that. We know that. There's this verse, and we say it all the time. 2 Timothy, can you know 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 15? It says here, and know from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. From your infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. Children, Christian children, from their very infancy we should teach them the Scriptures that they may know them as they grow. Timothy was taught by his mother. Christian children, they need to be taught as well from the very infancy. From the very infancy. And I'm running out of time, so I'm going to just pause here, and I'll continue next week on this particular passage. But I want to leave us with this point real fast so that we understand this. The children, they have to learn to obey mothers and fathers. Children can do that better if he sees mothers and fathers who are obedient to God the Father, who are in the Lord. But the point is, we have an obligation as parents to continue to teach children in the way they ought to go. Again, we need to make sure children understand their roles. We have this idea that when a child is born, and I hear it all the time, a mom and a dad say, you know what, I had a baby, I'm trying to raise a baby, he's now 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, and I'm struggling because when he was born, or when she was born, it was not, he or she did not come with a manual, did not come with instructions on how to raise a child. Well, I know this as a Christian, that is wrong, that is a falsity. That is a pretty bogus statement. No, because the scriptures are pretty clear. All scripture is profitable. And then if you read that one verse, it says, all scripture is profitable for training in righteousness. The Bible completely teaches us, moms and dads, how to raise our children. It's filled with principles on how to properly parent. So when we say, well, you know, my child didn't come with instructions. Well, I know that's not true. The Bible is clear. God understood when he told Adam and Eve, prosper, go out there and just fill the earth, multiply the earth. He knew children would come, and he knew children would need to be trained. They would need to be taught, and he gave parents the wherewithal in his word to do just that. Do we have an owner's manual? Yes. What's the problem? We don't use it. We neglect it. We don't study it. We don't see how does this apply to me teaching my son and my daughter to obey, when it's filled with scripture passages that God gives us on how to properly raise a child, how to teach a child to obey. But it's right here. And I'll talk more about this next week, and I'll just leave it at that. Let me just close in prayer. Father, I'm so grateful that we can get here together and just at this point in time, Father God, just understand what our roles are as mothers and fathers, O Lord. Help us to understand the importance of obedience, Father.